Not just on Sunday morning, but every day. We're supposed to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Hebrews chapter 2. This morning we continue our study that Jesus is greater, and the book of Hebrews, we know, originally was written to those Jewish believers in the early days of the church, and how they were encouraged by this book to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than all of these things, and that's what we're learning about. And last week we saw that Jesus is greater than angels, and we kind of continue that thought today as we see how Jesus is greater in word and in authority. And so if you're able, please stand with me to honor the word of God this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you, and the scriptures will be on the screen as much as possible. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege it is to come and to sing your praises today, for the joy of gathering with your people to lift up our voices in song, to be able to join together in prayer and to open your word and hear from you today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minds through your word today. I pray your Holy Spirit will do a work inside of us to change us and make us what you'd have us to be. Lord, help us to see Jesus as he is greater than all things, a greater word and a greater authority, high and lifted up. Lord, help it to cause us to see ourselves for what we really are. Lord, that we are nothing without you. Please help now and bless your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict hearts and that we would be obedient to your conviction today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we begin with a common word in our Bible studies in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The first word is therefore. And I just want to remind you again, when you see the word therefore, you need to go back and see what it's there for. Why is it that we're learning about these things? Because of something that I just said, you need to do what's about to be said. And when you look back at chapter 1, we learn that Jesus is God's Son. And because he is God's Son, because he is the heir of all things, because he is the creator of all things, therefore, you need to give the earnest heed to what he has to say. Because he's God. Because he created everything. Because he's God's only begotten Son. Because he's the Savior and sustainer of all things. Therefore, we ought to listen. So today, we see two main points, just this. Number one, we need to regard the word of salvation. And number two, we need to reverence his work of subjection. So first of all, regard the word of salvation. Therefore, because of who Jesus is and what he's done, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And so the writer of Hebrews says to the people, listen, you ought to pay attention to the preaching that you've heard. And he says to us today through his word, you ought to pay attention to the things that you've heard from the word of God. Those things you've been taught in Sunday school class, the things that you've heard from this pulpit, the things that you've studied from the word of God on your own, you ought to pay attention to those things. You ought to give them more earnest heed. You ought to beware of what's been said. This phrase, to give earnest heed, it's the idea of superabundantly or exceedingly holding the mind towards something. It's to beware. It's to regard it. And it also has the idea of savoring it. And listen, when you hear the word of God, it ought not just pass through one ear and out the other. But we ought to capture it in our mind. We ought to exceedingly turn our mind toward the things of God. Now, I'm going to venture that there are a lot of things that go through your mind in any given day. That's pretty brave for me to assume that with this crowd today. But I mean, you might look at me and think there's not much going on up there, but it might surprise you to find out that my mind has always got a lot of stuff in it. And it's not always good things. It's not always bad things. It's not always things that matter. But what God says, I want you to turn your mind towards the things that you've heard from my word. We got a lot of things going on in our mind. It's amazing sometimes the nonsense that goes on inside our heads. I don't know. I wake up with a different song in my head every day. Anybody else have songs get stuck in your mind? It's sad to me that I can't ever wake up with a good hymn in my mind. A lot of times I wake up with, we have this CD that gets played in our car lot called Toddler's Tunes. I wake up with a different one of those in my mind every day. It's an unusually cruel form of punishment, I think. I'll get songs in my head. I'm amazed sometimes. It's just the craziest thing. Driving down the road, all of a sudden, something will pop in my head that I watched on TV 20 years ago. I mean, just crazy stuff comes into your mind all the time. And what God's saying, I want you to turn your mind. I want you to hold your mind towards the things that you've heard from the preaching of the Word of God. Why do you got to hold it towards? In another place in Corinthians, the Bible says to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why do we have to hold our mind towards? Because there's a lot of stuff competing for your thoughts today. TV shows and movies and songs and things that you've experienced and things other people have said and all the political nonsense going on in our country today. And all of these things are competing for a place in your mind. And God says, listen, I want you to give them more earnest heed to my word, to the things that you heard. And the things that you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. Notice that he says, lest at any time we should let them slip. This word slip is an interesting word. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament. And it has the idea of letting something flow by. It's like water being lost out of a container. If you got a pitcher or something that's got a crack in it and the water just slowly or something more terrible, if the sweet tea just slowly drained out, it'd be bad, wouldn't it? That's the idea, is God is trying to pour himself into us through his word, and if we're not careful, it'll just flow right by and we won't get it. And so we need to hold on to the word of God. We've got so many things competing for our minds, and it's so easy to come and to hear the preaching and to walk out the door and never give it a second thought. It's so easy. You finally discipline yourself to where you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is open the Word of God and you read Scripture and you maybe start with the intention to meditate on it throughout the day, as you should, but sometimes we read it and within minutes our minds are gone on to other things and we give it no second thought throughout the day. And God says, I want you to hold your mind towards it, lest at any time you would let it slip. Don't let the word of God slip. Let it stick in your mind. Hold on to it. He says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. You see in Acts 7, verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. I don't understand exactly how God used angels in the disposition of the law. There's a lot of different ideas about that and how God might have done that as he gave the law and how the angels were involved with that. I don't know exactly how they were involved, but my Bible says in Acts 7 and verse 53 that God used angels in giving the law and giving the word of God to the prophets of old. That's how he did it. And God says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so God says, if you transgress, if you violate, or if you broke the law, you are in trouble by the law. And this word was given by angels, just the messengers of God, the ones who Jesus created. Romans 2:23 says, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. And so, to the Hebrews, he would say, you think you're doing good. You are the children of Abraham, and you think that you've got the law, so you're better than everybody else. But you make your boast of the law, but you can't even keep the law because you've broken the law. And under the law, when you broke the law, you would receive a just recompense of reward. In other words, you would be rewarded according to your deeds. They kept the law, and if they broke the law, they got the punishment that came from the law. And disobedience, he says, disobedience. That word disobedience means to neglect to hear. To have inattention. Aren't you glad we don't have to deal with that today? Aren't you glad that you can just stay focused on what the Word of God says and you don't take any little trips in your mind other places? Aren't you glad? Somebody's like, what do you say? I love preaching. Don't you? Amen. I mean, I love to hear preaching. Amen. I do it on my free time. I got my phone, I got podcasts, and I listen to, put my earbuds in, and I listen to preaching. I mowed my yard yesterday, I listened to preaching, and I had to find some loud preaching because it's hard to hear. Need some of those noise-canceling headphones, what I need, but I'm driving my mower around the yard with my hand over my ear so I can hear my podcast, so I can hear the preaching. I love preaching, but I am amazed at how many times I've sat in a pew just like you're doing this morning, and been inattentive to the preaching of the Word of God. I'll give you something else. I'm amazed with my ability. I am a very talented person. I can read my Bible and not listen to what it says. There have been nights when I've been trying to read my Bible, I've read the same verse at least 20 times and still couldn't tell you what it said. Isn't that amazing? That's talent, people. Well, how is it that we can hear the word, we can read the word, and we're not paying attention to the word? You know what that is? It's disobedience. And listen, under the law, if you didn't listen to the law, you weren't going to come up when they caught you in the act and they brought you before those who would judge the people, and they would bring you with two or three witnesses and say, we saw this man steal, and he's going to say, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to steal. I never heard that. Oh, no, we've been preaching that since Moses came down off the mountain. And you would receive the just recompense of the reward. The law was carried out. We don't understand that today because our justice system is broken. Amen. Justice is cast out in the street. It's trodden under the foot of men. We don't understand justice today because you can break just about any kind of law and not have to worry about prosecution. Amen. That's, I don't know what country you live in, but that's where I live today. But let me tell you something, friends. In the Old Testament and the law, it didn't go like that. We've all broken God's law. Romans 5:19 says, for as one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we look at Adam and his disobedience. He did not listen to what God said. Therefore, he sinned against the Lord. But praise God, he sent Jesus, who was obedient. He listened to what the Father said and obeyed what the Father said, and therefore we have life. We've all broken God's law. We've all been guilty of not listening when God's word has been spoken to our minds and our hearts. And he says, listen, when you look back and the angels gave this word And look at what happened to those who disobeyed, who transgressed the law. Look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And so you didn't want to listen to the law, and look at what happened. What do you think's going to happen if you don't listen to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you think it was bad under the Old Testament, and maybe you've thought that, and I used to think that, man, glad I don't live back then, man, because, man, if you messed up, it was a bad deal. Mom and dad got tired of fooling with you, they'd just drag you down there, and they'd stone you to death. And your mom had probably thought about it a time or two. I know mine did. She was going to stone me with shotgun pellets. But friend, I want you to get it. You think that the punishment for not obeying the word of God back then was bad. What do you think is going to happen if you neglect so great salvation as has been preached to you in your life? What do you think the just recompense of the reward is going to be for trodding underfoot the Son of God who gave himself for you? When you neglect to hear that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the only way for us to have forgiveness of sin and eternal life, what do you think is going to happen when you don't listen to that, when you disregard that? What do you think is going to happen, friend? If we neglect so great salvation, where did it come from? Look at it. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Listen, this word didn't come from angels. This word came from the mouth of the incarnate Son of God. I'm talking about God himself robed in human flesh. When he began his earthly ministry, he went about preaching from his own mouth the gospel. And he said, it's Mark 1:14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And Jesus Christ himself, who is the gospel, the one who would die on the cross and be buried and raised again the third day, the very word of God himself came and he preached, and he himself said, repent and believe the gospel. But it didn't stop with him. It says, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. And I want you to look in Acts chapter 10, if you would, please. Hold your place in Hebrews and look at Acts chapter 10. Friend, I hope you can just get it with me just a little bit. We can just get a glimpse a little bit today of how awesome it is that we have the very Word of God today. How incredible it is that, you remember, therefore, we go back to chapter 1. You remember Jesus who created all things? Jesus who put the angels in their place? He's the one that made them ministers, and he's the one that made them as a flame of fire. This Jesus who created all things and all the hosts of heaven and all the very angels and gave them their job to do, this Jesus came and became a man and started preaching the word of God. Man, that's awesome. Don't worry. Maybe you'll get excited in a minute. Just wait for it. Acts chapter 10. Look down at verse 36. He said, it was at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Acts 10:36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Amen. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Peter and John were there. We walked with him. We talked with him. We saw him do miracles. We saw him die on the cross. We saw him wrapped and put in the tomb. And then we saw the tomb empty. But listen, 3 days later, after he's put in that tomb, when it was empty, we ate with him. We drank with him. We listened to him. We're witnesses of these things. And you say, well, that's just crazy. People don't rise from the dead. Well, listen, friend, Jesus did. And the people who saw it preached it. They confirmed it. This is true. This happened. We were there. And you say, well, that's crazy. They're just making that stuff up. Yeah, you think they were making it up whenever the Pharisees got a hold of them and began to beat them and say, recant or you'll die? You think they were making it up when they were skinned alive and they could have ended the pain at any time if they'd have just recanted? You think they were making it up when they were boiled in oil or when they were nailed to crosses themselves? No, friend, they were eyewitnesses. And because they knew the Lord Jesus Christ and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they would not turn back. I'm saying we've got a better word and you ought to believe the word. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And listen, Peter, he saw the Lord and he saw all these things. And he was there when Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mount. He saw Jesus in all of his glory. And he said, listen, I saw him there, but you have a more sure word of prophecy. You have the Word of God, the Scriptures that were given by the Holy Spirit of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What salvation? The salvation that Jesus preached. Repent and believe the gospel. The salvation that we preached when we confirmed to you as eyewitnesses. Repent and believe the gospel. The same word, verse 4, back in our text in verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. In Acts 2 and verse 43, the Bible says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." In 2 Corinthians 12, 12, "Truly the signs of the apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Signs and wonders and miracles by the hands of men were done to confirm that what they preached was true. And those signs and wonders and miracles were done by them to confirm the Word of God. They were for a specific people at a specific place for a specific purpose. And I don't have the time to get into it today, but what we understand that when this Word was completed, those miracles were done away with. So I don't need to get up here and perform some miracle today. Amen. For you to know that what I'm saying is true. Because you can take out your own Bible and see what's there. Amen. You can read for yourself, thus saith the Lord. They didn't have that luxury back then. But when a man could heal, when a man could do these miracles, when he could do those things, then it confirmed that they were from God. Nicodemus understood that when he came to Jesus. No man could do the miracles that you do except he come from God. And that was their purpose. For a specific time, for a specific people, for a specific purpose. But the point is this, friends. By the Lord himself, his eyewitnesses, and the power of his Spirit, his word of salvation has been proclaimed. And if we neglect it, we will not escape the wrath of Almighty God. What is it that we won't escape? I want to invite you to look at another passage with me. Matthew chapter 22. Is it all right if we use our Bibles a little bit this morning? Matthew 22, look at verses 1 through 7. And I want you to see this because he said, if we neglect. And that word neglect is a word that means to disregard. It means to make light of. And in Matthew 22, verse 1, the Lord gave parables about the kingdom. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They neglected, made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. It's a parable. It applies directly to the Jews of the day who would reject their own Messiah. But make no mistake about it, friend, it applies to those today who would make light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was bad for the Jews. They had the scriptures. They had the law. They should have known when their Messiah came. And when the Messiah came, God the Father said, here he is. Receive him. Rejoice with him. Join with him. And they treated all of those prophets spitefully. They rejected him. They turned him away. And friend, those who neglected, those who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ have received the wrath of Almighty God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, I've heard about Jesus my whole life. Oh, yeah, I know about that. My grandma used to take me to church when I was a kid. I don't think we understand. I wish I could put into words, friends, just how real all of this is. But I don't have to, because he put it into words. And I don't have to convince you in your mind, because the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart that this word is true. And it's better than the word that was given by angels, because this word was given by the Lord himself. There's nothing hidden. There's no mystery. It's all right there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We won't escape if we neglect the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's not your truth and my truth and somebody else's truth and we all have our own truth. No, there's one truth, and the truth is Jesus. There's not this religion and that religion and all have their own good things about them. No. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If we neglect him and his gospel, we will not escape. So we see we need to regard the word of salvation. We need to give the earnest heed to it. We need to hear it and obey it. We need to study it and apply it. We need to believe it. And we need to live it. And notice the reverence, that we should reverence his work of subjection. Now look at verse 5 in our text. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. God hasn't placed the angels in authority over this world or the world to come. Now, angels have great power. They have great abilities. They do great things. And they are wondrous creations of God. But God has not given them authority. He gave that authority to mankind, but in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And this comes from Psalm 8. And Psalm 8 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I considered thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And God said, he created man in his image. And God set man up to have dominion and authority over all the earth. Right? God said, one thing. Thou shalt not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And we know how the serpent came and beguiled Eve, and she ate. She gave to her husband, and he ate, and their eyes were open, and they understood that they were naked. In other words, they got that knowledge of good and evil. When they took their bite of that fruit, they became sinful. And their sin separated them from God. Amen. And the dominion that God had in store for mankind was given away. Amen. Sold for a piece of fruit. Dominion over all things. And so we see back in our text, he says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. This prophecy of God isn't fulfilled in man. He doesn't have all things in subjection under him. Man doesn't have the dominion that God has promised to him. So we've got a problem. You see this problem, the man promised to man, but it's not fulfilled. But verse 9, I love it. I get it though. God's given this dominion over everything on the planet to mankind. You've got it all. I'm giving it to you. For you to enjoy, for you to have dominion over as the pinnacle of my creation, but you sin, and so everything's not put in subjection under you. You've lost the title deed to earth. You don't have it anymore. But verse 9, I love it. But we see Jesus. Friend, I don't care what your problem is, Jesus is the answer. Amen. You got a sin problem, we all do. Jesus is the answer. You got a problem in your marriage. Jesus is the answer. You got a problem with your finances. Yes, friends, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to all the problems. We say that's just silly. If I just pray to Jesus, all my money problems are going to go away. I'll just be a millionaire. No, but you trust in Jesus and apply the principle of his word, and he can fix those problems. Oh, yeah, he's the answer to everything. The whole world isn't in subjection to mankind like God intended, but we see Jesus. Oh, yeah. Adam, you didn't just mess up yourself. Eve, you didn't just mess up yourself. You messed up all of mankind. You didn't just mess up all of mankind. The whole creation was cursed because of sin. There weren't any thorns before the sin, before the fall of mankind. That things were great, things were good, they were awesome. They got to walk in fellowship with God every day, but sin wrecked it all. It wrecked them, and it wrecked creation, and it wrecked their fellowship with God the Father. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus Christ, creator of all things, was made a little lower than the angels. That's how God described us, right? A little lower than the angels. Well, that's what Jesus did. Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And friends, Jesus Christ was made a little lower the angels. He was born as a human being in that lowly manger. And he came to this world for the express purpose of tasting death for you and me. Amen. Have you tasted death? Oh, we haven't tasted death. You're here, aren't you? You say, well, I nearly died. I was on the table and I saw a tunnel of light or whatever people see. No. You don't understand. Jesus didn't taste of just physical death. He took spiritual death. He was separated from the Father because he became sin for us who knew no sin. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because God the Father turned the back on the Son. And I don't understand all about that, but I know this. Jesus took my sin on the cross and he took my separation that I deserve. He bore it all on Calvary. He tasted death for me. Why? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And God the Father ordained. Listen, in eternity past, the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they got together and they figured this whole thing out. A way that you and I could be redeemed. And I don't know why God would make a race like mankind that would refuse him and reject him and disobey him and cast the Son of God under their feet. I don't know why God would create people like this. Other than this, his great love wherewith he loved us. Why would he do all of this? Why would he go all of this trouble? Because his love for you is greater than you will ever understand. He was willing to do it all to create us, to see us reject him, to turn our backs on him, to disobey him, to go out and live like the devil even after we've been saved. He's willing to put himself through all of that hatred that we have for him because he loves us. Because he loves us. For whom are all things and by whom are all things? All things are created by him and for him in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. And Jesus Christ came to suffer for our sins. And he came to buy back the title deed to heaven and earth. It was sold under sin, but Jesus bought it back. Bought it back. In the book of the Revelation, we see that there's nobody that's able to open the scroll. And John wept sorely because there's nobody who's worthy. There's nobody all over. I looked everywhere in heaven and earth. I looked everywhere and there was nobody worthy to open it up. And then he saw the Lamb. But we see Jesus. Friend, I don't know where your heart's at today, but I know this. If you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've neglected it, I mean that you don't believe it. You haven't put all your faith and trust in Christ alone. You've been holding on to some stupid sin and you're not willing to let that sin go so that you might repent and turn to Christ. Friend, you will not escape from the wrath of Almighty God. But he loved you and he gave himself for you. And if you will repent and you will trust in him, don't neglect that great salvation, but believe it with all your heart. He'll give you life everlasting. He came to be the captain of our salvation, our Lord and our Savior. And friend, if you've been saved, I pray with all my heart, please regard the word of salvation. Don't neglect it. Don't forget to hear it, but hear the word of God and obey it each and every day. This morning, we're going to get ready for an invitation. While our musicians are coming, I'd ask you to stand with me, please. Where's your heart at today? Do you know the Lord? Have you put all your faith and trust in Christ alone? Do you see Jesus today in your heart of hearts? Do you know him? Are you living for him? Friend, don't get messed up with the things of this world. Jesus Christ is your captain. He's your master. Let's strive to follow him. Our Heavenly Father, as we prepare for this invitation this morning, I pray your Holy Spirit would move freely in our hearts. Anyone here that needs to make a decision to be saved, be baptized, to rededicate their life to Christ, or just to repent of some sin, Lord, whatever it is, I pray your Holy Spirit would move right now. That people would let go of the back of the pew in front of them, and let go of their pride, let go of their sin, and that we with repentant hearts would humble ourselves today and be obedient to the leadership of your Holy Spirit. Please forgive my sin. Please help this church to be what you want us to be. Please bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing what number?
Page 573.
Number 573. Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Would you come?